Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vichakshana yacharanopasadanat.
Okay. I'll just repeat.
Sangam vyudasto bhayatom taratmanaha vindanti hi brahmagatim gata klamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Vichakshana yacharanopasadanat. Sangam vyudastyo bayatom taratmanaha vindanti hi brahmagatim gata klamas tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Vichakshanaha.
Highly intellectual.
Yat.
Whose?
Charana upasadanat.
Simply dedicating oneself unto the lotus feet.
Sangam.
Attachment.
Vyudasya.
Giving up completely.
Ubayataha.
For present and future existence.
Antat Atmanaha.
Of the heart and soul.
Vindanti.
Moves progressively.
He.
Certainly.
Brahmagatim.
Toward spiritual existence.
Gata klamaha.
Without difficulty.
Tasmai.
Unto him.
Subhadra.
All auspicious.
Shravase.
Unto one who is heard.
Namaha.
My due obeisances.
Namaha.
Again and again.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Lord Sri Krishna has repeatedly instructed Arjuna, or for that matter, everyone concerned, with becoming his unalloyed devotee. In the last phase of his instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, 1864-66, he instructed most confidentially as follows.
Sarva guyatamam bhuya shrinu me paramam vachah ishto si me dvidhamiti tato vakshyami te hitam manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha.
My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me, and therefore only for your good I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. It is simply this. Become a pure devotee of mine, and give yourself up to me only, and I promise you full spiritual existence, by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. Just give up all other ways of religiosity and exclusively surrender unto me, and believe that I will protect you from your sinful acts, and I shall deliver you. Do not worry anymore. Persons who are intelligent take serious notice of this last instruction of the Lord. Knowledge of the self is the first step in spiritual realization, which is called confidential knowledge. And a step further is God realization, which is called more confidential knowledge. The culmination of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is God realization. And when one attains this stage of God realization, he naturally, voluntarily becomes a devotee of the Lord to render him loving transcendental service. This devotional service to the Lord is always based on love of God and is distinct from the nature of routine service as prescribed in Kardama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or Dhyana Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are different instructions for such men of different categories. And there are various descriptions for Varnashrama Dharma, Sannyas Dharma, Yati Dharma, the renounced order of life, controlling the senses, meditation, perfection of mystic powers, etc. But one who fully surrenders unto the Lord to render service unto him out of spontaneous love for him factually assimilates the essence of all knowledge described in the Vedas. One who adopts this method very skillfully attains perfection of life at once. And this perfection of human life is called Brahma Gati, or the progressive march in spiritual existence, as mentioned, as enunciated by Srila Jiva Goswami on the basis of Vedic assurances. Brahma Gati means to attain a spiritual form as good as that of the Lord. And in that form, the liberated living being eternally lives on one of the spiritual planets situated in the spiritual sky. Attainment of this perfection of life is easily available to a pure devotee of the Lord without his undergoing any difficult method of perfection. Such a devotional life is full of kirtanam, smaranam, ikshanam, etc., as mentioned in the previous verse. One must therefore adopt this simple way of devotional life in order to attain the highest perfection available in any category of the human form of life in any part of the world. When Lord Brahma met Lord Krishna as a playful child at Vrindavan, he offered his prayer in which he said, Svayaksvitim bhaktimudasya devibho klishyanti ye kevala bhoda labdaye tesham asau kleshala eva shishyate nanyadyata stula tushavagatinam. Bhakti yoga is the highest quality of perfection to be achieved by the intelligent person in lieu of performing a large quantity of spiritual activities. The example cited here is very appropriate. A handful of real paddy is more valuable than heaps of paddy skins without any substance within. Similarly, one should not be attracted by the jugglery of karma kanda or jnana kanda or even the gymnastic performances of yoga, but skillfully should take to the simple performance of kirtanam, smaranam, etc. under a bona fide spiritual master, and without any difficulty attain the highest perfection. The process of devotional service is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam in the words of Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sokyam Atmani Vedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischen Navalakshana. Third line, I don't remember. Manye tad aditam uttamam. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what is the best thing you learned in school? Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad to the Asura Kula, the demon school, to learn politics, basically. Economics and politics. Just like young men today go to the university, they study political science, they study economics. So this was the curriculum at the Gurukul in Hiranyakashipu's court. So he expected a suitable answer from his boy. But he got a shocking answer. This is what I think. If a man becomes fixed up in these 9 topics, then I think he's studied his very well in school. These 9 topics: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, and remembering Vishnu, about Vishnu. These 3 are the basis of devotional practice. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, which is usually explained as meaning doing personal service for the Lord. Lakshmi Devi is always depicted in pictures as sitting at the feet of Vishnu, who's lying on the bed of snakes in Antashesh. And she's massaging his feet. But do you actually think that's all she ever does? Just sit, you know, just gives him a massage day and night? And his feet would get pretty sore. And she would be bored. No, she does personal service for her husband, just like any wife. Now, a wife has so many things she has to do to take care of the husband. Like that, Lakshmi is doing personal service. Serving the feet represents that. The intimate personal service, like a wife does for her husband. That is Padasevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Then worship of the Lord, offering prayers. So these first 7 processes are basic. Even beginners can engage in them, although Padasevanam is a little more advanced. But the last 2, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, becoming a close friend of the Lord, only an advanced devotee can actually do that. Arjuna is a close friend of the Supreme Lord, Govinda. Atmanivedanam is the last of the 9 processes. And as Prabhupada explains, based on the explanation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti and Srila Jiva Goswami, only very advanced devotees, only a few devotees, can even enter into this process of Atmanivedanam. The typical example is given of Bali Maharaj. Atmanivedanam means to give everything you have to Krishna without any reserve, without any reservation. If you have anything in the bank, you have to empty out your account and give everything to Krishna. Then that's Atmanivedanam. Just like one Grihastha disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He worked his job, and when he got paid at the end of the month, he took his entire pay and gave it to his Guru Maharaj. Every penny of it. And his wife had to come the next day and beg from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati if he could give something back so they could maintain the family. Every month this happened. But this is Atmanivedanam, at least part of the process, symbolic, to give everything you have without reservation, trusting that somehow Krishna will maintain. There's also the example. I'm sorry? Oh, yes, Jayananda Prabhu, who gave everything to Prabhupada without reservation. And this was at the beginning of the movement. So he's glorified as a pure devotee who unreservedly surrendered himself. I was thinking of the example of Srivast Thakur, described in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Lord Chaitanya was joking with him. He said, I see you have a big household. You live with your three brothers. And you have big family, wife, children, and many servants. How do you maintain this whole household? You don't have a job. You don't have a regular occupation. You're just some pundit sitting around scribbling and teaching and studying, but you don't make any money. So what is your method of maintaining your family? So Srivast Thakur clapped his hands three times. That was his answer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what do you mean by this? What is this? This is your formula? Yes, Srivast Thakur answered. This means that if I find 3 days pass that I cannot feed my family, then I'll just jump in the Ganga and drown myself. That is my method of maintaining my family. Krishna will maintain, and that's all. I'm not going to make any arrangement for myself. This is Atma Nivedanam. Unless you're a very rare soul, unless you've made already very great advancement in Krishna consciousness, don't try to imitate it. This is what is being mentioned in the verse quoted from Bhagavad Gita, the last verse, the famous Charama Shloka. It's not the last verse of the Gita, but it's the culmination of Krishna's instructions. The Sri Vaishnavas have a tradition of what they call the Rahasya Trayam, three secret mantras. They didn't stay secret very long. By the 14th century, everybody knew what they were. Commentaries were being written about the three secret mantras. Two simple mantras to Lakshmi Narayan. And this verse, the third of the mantras, is simply this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva papi bhyo moksha yashyami ma shujaha. So if you take initiation in the Sri Sampradaya, when you take your first initiation, Samanya Diksha, you're given these three mantras, including the Charama Shloka, the ultimate verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna reserves this instruction for the end, because until the highest understanding is reached, it cannot be properly understood, appreciated. Prabhupada gives here a different translation than we have in our Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is nice to hear it in different words. Just give up all other ways of religiosity and exclusively surrender unto me and believe that I will protect you from your sinful acts and I shall deliver you. Do not worry anymore. This is a formula for Atma Nivedanam. Arjuna is very fortunate. He's now been elevated to the point that he can actually accept and follow this instruction. If we can accept and follow this instruction, our perfection in Krishna consciousness is already accomplished. Just like we mentioned Jayananda Prabhu. He didn't practice. He wasn't born in a Pakka Brahmin family. He didn't practice bhakti yoga from his birth. He began in his adulthood having been born in a Mlecha family and having performed sinful activities in his early life, but still, he wholeheartedly surrendered to Srila Prabhupada without any reservation. And he practiced the Atma Nivedanam and got perfection very easily. Just have complete trust in Krishna. This is also basically what is described as Sharanagati, taking full shelter of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu defines Sharanagati. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, Krishna raksha siti vishvaso goptvitve varanam tata. What is it? Karpanyam. Atmanikshepa. Karpanyam. Karpanyam. And then? Shadvidam. Saranagati. This is the six aspects of taking shelter of the Lord. Again, this reflects the Sri Vaishnav Siddhanta of the Ramanuja school. Their theory, developed by their acharyas, is that the traditional system of bhakti yoga, meaning discipline practiced of the principles of yoga, of bhakti, devotional service, is too difficult for Kali Yuga. Of course, bhakti yoga is being taught in a simplified form by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. But in previous ages, the system of bhakti yoga was more complicated. There were more rules. It required more strenuous discipline. So in Kali Yuga, the acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya judged that it's too difficult. Therefore, the practice that is recommended, which is basically what Krishna teaches in the Gita, is this prapatti, or sharanagati, simply taking shelter of Krishna, depending on him completely. Don't forget about depending on your own capacity to execute sadhana. Just take full shelter of Krishna, depend on him completely. And that's described by Rupa Goswami in his definition of sharanagati, taking shelter. Anukulyasya. Those things which you can judge to be favorable to the advancement of your devotional life, you sankalpa. You decide, yes, I will do these things. That's number one. Number two, pratikulyasya varjanam. Those things which obviously will be detrimental to your devotional advancement, you should avoid them, give them up, renounce them. Number two. Number three, Krishna rakshishyati, rakshishyati, iti vishwaso. Conviction, confidence that Krishna will protect me in any situation, no matter what the difficulty is. I can trust that Krishna will protect me. Just like the residents of Raja, the cowherd boys, when they were... there's two incidences, the forest fire in Vrindavan. In one... Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Jagannatha Varesita.
Good. Gornit. The cowherd boys were camping on the shore of the Jamuna with Krishna at night. And there, in the summer, hot, dry night, and there was a forest fire. And they were in danger. They and their cows were in danger of being entrapped in the fire. Imminent danger. Their lives were threatened. But they trusted completely somehow Krishna and Balaram could protect them. Krishna told them, just close your eyes. Trust me. So they did that. Staring in the face of death, they simply closed their eyes. And Krishna swallowed the forest fire. So this is trusting that Krishna will protect you. Goptvitve varanam tata. And also, number four, accepting that you are Krishna's dependent. Just like an animal, a dog, is very faithful. When he finds a master that who will take care of him, then he becomes the slave of that master. He'll stand by the door of the master and bark at anybody who tries to intrude. That is becoming the faithful dependent. Atmanikshepa, which is Atmanivedanam, offering yourself and everything you have to Krishna. Karpanya, right? Karpanya? Utter humility. This is listed last, not because it's least important. It is the most important qualification. If you are proud of yourself, then you haven't given up everything to Krishna. You're maintaining, okay, maybe you've given up all your money. Maybe you quit your job. But you're still proud of your beauty, your knowledge, or you're proud of how much you've renounced. You gave everything up and now you're proud of it. One has to give up all pride, ultimately, and develop utter humility if you want to actually be a fully surrendered devotee of Krishna. If you want to accomplish this Atmanivedanam, Sharanagati, the sixth requirement is essential. Utter humility. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, Gopakumara has reached Vaikuntha, but he's not feeling satisfied there. He wants to see Gopal, his worshipable deity, in his natural place. But he doesn't have any idea what other place could be superior to Vaikuntha, what else there could be beyond Vaikuntha. So Narada, who we say is only a Vaikuntha devotee, okay, but he comes to instruct Gopakumara about how there is a better place than Vaikuntha. So what kind of devotee only of Narayan is Narada Muni? He has some secret attachment to something else. He explains that there is a place. It's called Goloka. You can reach it. It's better than Vaikuntha. There you will satisfy all your desires. You will see Krishna in the form that you actually want to see him. You will get his intimate association. But I have to tell you the secret. How you can gain entrance into that place. And he says there is one special qualification. You've already entered Vaikuntha, so you have all the basic devotional qualifications already. But you cannot enter Goloka Vrindavan unless you earn one more qualification. And he says that's dainyam. The same thing. Utter humility. This is the quality, complete pridelessness. This is the qualification that distinguishes the devotees of Vraja, of Vrindavan, of Goloka, from the devotees of Vaikuntha and every place else. There is some subtle pride. Krishna is our Lord, they're thinking in Vaikuntha. We're so fortunate, we're so elevated to have the mercy of Narayan. Or even in Dwarka, and even in Mathura, the devotees are thinking, oh, Krishna is our family member. There's some subtle pride there, some possessiveness. Krishna is my uncle, he's my distant cousin. They think they own Krishna. Whereas the devotees, so the, what is it called? Sambandamaya. The prema of Mathura and Dwarka is called Sambandamaya. Basically. That it's based on your relationship with Krishna. But then you take advantage of that relationship. There's some subtle attachment there. But the love, the prema of Raja, is simply rasamaya. It is based on the transcendental exchange, ignores the boundaries of relationship. Most of the devotees in Vraja don't have a family relationship with Krishna. The most intimate devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, are married to other men. Their relationship with Krishna is illicit. You know, it's against the rules of family relationship. But it transcends it. This is rasamaya. A love of Krishna that is free from all traces of selfish identification. complete selflessness, or as Narada Muni terms it, dainyam, or as Rupa Goswami terms it, karpanyam. Both of those words, dainyam and karpanyam, mean complete, absolute selflessness, humility. That's what's required. We cannot imitate it. It's the ultimate requirement for completely taking shelter of Krishna. But we should be working toward it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the third verse of the Shikshastika, gives basic instructions how to properly engage in Nam Sankirtana. Someone can chant occasionally. Someone can spend some months or years chanting. Take a special vow, sankalpa. What do you call this? Purushcharanam. You take a vow to chant a mantra for 1 year or so. But what about if you want to make it your permanent engagement? You want to become a full-time, eternal performer of Nam Sankirtan. Kirtana niyaksata harihi. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends. This is the Yuga Dharma. You must chant Krishna's names always. That means 24 hours a day, and it means your entire life. Not just some period, and then you go back to your materialism. No. So how? What do you have to do to be allowed to chant Krishna's name eternally? That is explained by this third verse of the Shikshastika, the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Same idea. Utter humility. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniyaksadahari. You have to be completely tolerant, completely humble. Analogy is given. You have to think yourself less significant than a blade of grass. A blade of grass cannot feel very proud because at any moment someone can step on his head. If someone even touches my feet, I get angry. Or, you know, pushes me in the crowd. What does it mean with someone stepping on my head? But the level of humility that is required, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to become more humble than a blade of grass. Think of yourself no more, less important than a blade of grass. The plants suffer and cannot complain. They stay in the cold weather, the hot weather, the rainy weather. They cannot move. They cannot express any complaint. That is complete tolerance, humility. And the example of tolerance is given next. Tarora pisa hishnuna, so tree. Blade of grass and then tree. The tree is standing in the bad weather. Someone is coming and cutting his bark. Dog is coming and urinating on him. And he cannot complain. He cannot move out of the place to avoid the botheration. He cannot make any adjustment for himself. We're spending most of our time making adjustments for our security and comfort. But to come to this standard of being allowed entrance into the eternal performance of Nam Sankirtan, we have to give up all this, making arrangements for ourselves. Give it up and spend all your time making arrangements for Krishna's pleasure instead, and for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. That is Atmanivedanam. We have to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. And then last, two things, amanina, manadina. You may be so renounced. You may be performing great austerities. You may have given up many material things. You may be living in poverty voluntarily. But if you expect that someone's going to honor you for that, you still have more to accomplish. You have to not expect respect from anybody. It may be forced upon you. Just like Madhavendra Porti, he didn't want to be honored, but it was that honor was following him everywhere like his shadow. But he didn't want it. He considered it a curse, a danger that anybody showed him respect. But we're looking for respect for the people who worship and love us. That has to be given up. Amanina. Of course, then one can become a misanthrope. You know, I don't want any respect, and therefore I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to hide in a cave. No. There's an other side of it. Manadena. You have to not expect any respect for yourself and show respect to everybody. Everybody else. Sometimes we have to deal harshly with somebody. Someone is foolish and abusive. You have to protect yourself and also protect other Vaishnavas especially. You have to speak harshly, act sharply sometimes. But in the heart, there must always be respect. We may have quarrels even with other Vaishnavas. And to defend the Siddhanta, to defend our spiritual master, we may sometimes even have to fight with other Vaishnavas. But the respect must always be there. Give respect to everyone. It has to be appropriate according to who you're dealing with. You don't show respect in the same way to everyone. We may have respect for every living entity. But if I meet a tiger on the road, I don't embrace him, offer him my obeisances, put my head at his feet, and then embrace him. Not if I want to live. And if I meet an envious and abusive person, I show my respect from a distance. But the respect in the heart must be there. Then one is completely qualified with dainyam, as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the key for achieving the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and attaining not just love of God as it's practiced in Vaikuntha, but the most confidential form of love of God that is only found in Krishna's most intimate abode. Okay, so I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mother? More or less. Although, actually, I don't think it's completely cut and dry that everyone in Vaikuntha is practicing this Sambandamaya devotion, and everybody in Goloka is practicing simply Rasamaya. Either one can be found in both places. So, roughly, yes, but not all the time, not in all cases. There's a correspondence between basing your love on Krishna, on your relationship with Krishna, that corresponds roughly with being attracted to his opulences. But not completely. There's not a complete correspondence. Sometimes it doesn't match. Even an intimate devotee may have a strong sense of being the family member. Just like Mother Yashoda is not at all interested in Krishna's opulences. But her love is based on her relationship with him. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.